Jitty Rodman. Jitty, with over 5 decades of award-winning success, specializes in transforming voices for singers and speakers. She has worked with professionals who have achieved remarkable success, including Grammy winners, NYT bestsellers, and performers at major venues and TV shows. Jitty's mission is to empower voices with impactful messages. She's also known for her work as a vocal producer on various projects led by vocal producers and as an author of vocal training courses. Additionally, she hosts the popular All Things Vocal blog and podcast. Jitty is a sought-after public speaker on professional voice and vocal careers. Her clients have achieved recognition on various prestigious platforms, and she's currently coaching the cast of an upcoming Disney series. And because we are passionate about your sound, here are the Making Musical Quantum Leaps grand finale for the 30-day podcast Everything Vocal Registers, the sensational Jitty Rodman.
So the balance is, then how do you know where to stop? That's another question. How do they know the right place to begin to move into the next
register? That's a
great
question. Right. I think it's important to teach both your head and then your sensation, your muscle memory, the way you feel it, right?
Yeah.
So I'll tell them what I just told you about there is chest, there is head, but there's a way to mix them.
Yeah.
And it's out the back top of your head. That's the problem, is when you try to mix it going up or forward, you can't. You really have trouble. Some people can kind of do it, but if you pull up and back like that, and so I'll give people imagery like slurping up a really thick milkshake, like that. Like thinking of a space invader coming at them with bad breath and the flu, and they pull back like that, right?
Yeah.
And not to lift their chin. And then I teach them some exercises in this thing. Right now on my own podcast, I just uploaded a blending voice exercise. And I was inspired by your question to me about this very interview. So, but what it is, I'll show it to you. It's, So I'm in chest voice first, and I transition into head voice 45 degrees up and back with rocking my head down as I go back, so my head stays level. If I go straight up, there's the break.
Yeah.
But me. And you can use a rubber band even to help you sense that. Or you, where you're coming back down 45 degrees. And then when they start sensing, it's like a little kid going woo, making a ghost sound. Mm-hmm. And when they start sensing that, they go, oh, that's how it feels. And then you don't have to know the science of it.
Yeah.
You just feel it and repeat it.
Yeah. Muscle memory. It begins to develop muscle memory. When you begin to do it over and over again, you don't have to think about it, because there's a lot of one thing about singing is there's a lot of thinking to do, and we don't want to do all that thinking while we are singing, because we will not really be singing. I want to think about my diction. I want to think about my breathing.
Exactly.
I want to think about my flexibility. Then I want to think about my registration. I want to think about, where am I going to mix? Well, if we begin to think about all that on stage or when we actually want to sing, then singing, it makes it way too scientific. It kills the art in that work. So I think
it does. I liken it to martial arts. You wouldn't want to use the move you just learned in karate class in a real street fight. You get your block knocked off. You want to trust your training, but you can't trust your training until you train.
Yeah. That's a perfect illustration. Oh, goodness gracious. Let me ask a question. You just showed us an exercise. You just showed us the exercise. Are there any more exercises we could do to explore that pulling down and that pulling through or pulling down.
Yes.
Pulling through the registers. Are there other exercises you'd like to share?
Yes. I like the voice, you know, the semi-occluded vocal exercises like bubbles and trills and raspberries or whatever, but I like the bubble for me. And by the way, it really doesn't matter what, it's what you anatomically can do the easiest. Yeah. Bubbles or trills, some people can do one much easier than some of the other, and it's just anatomical, so not to worry about that. But this is like pulling a bubble up 45 degrees while rocking your head down as you do it. So you come up like a cobra, right?
Yeah.
Or a long neck swan, however you want to think of it.
Yeah.
And you go.
Yeah.
And I pull three times. I pull at the bottom, I pull at the top, and I pull at the bottom again. So, sorry. So I'm kind of twisting when I pull like that.
Yeah.
And that gets the posture. I liken it to like the note wants, your range wants to go up the back of your neck, not the front of your neck.
Okay. Wow. That's, thinking of that makes me think, I know we are not supposed to use classical technique to practice contemporary singing because they are two separate things, but we cannot.
Not necessarily. Go ahead.
Yeah, but we cannot but borrow some ideas because classical music think back a lot more than forward. They think more backward placement of sound more than forward.
Okay, that's different. What I'm teaching is pull back like that, which does create resonance. It does create, it opens your throat. Yeah. But pull with your articulation, meaning the lyric itself, through your mask, through your resonance placement system. So, I can do that. And as long as I'm pulling it, it doesn't hurt me. I can make all kinds of crazy sounds if I want to be tight, if I want to be, whatever kind of sound I make, but I'm pulling through it. The biggest difference, because I have a classical teacher and I teach him contemporary voice, he teaches me classical voice.
Oh.
And there are similarities. There are things that go together. And so when I'm getting him ready, even for a classical event, this pulling techniques even helps him to get a bigger resonance. But when he teaches me classical technique, he finds my face working far too much. So with classical, you kind of stay in this kind of place and you don't move your mouth as much.
Yes.
With contemporary voice, you really, really use your face, use your eyes. And when he's singing John Legend, I got to get him working his face. So that's a big difference, but it doesn't mean that you can't use classical technique to open up your resonators and allow the vibration from your larynx to reach those resonation surfaces. You just gotta carve it with the way you say the words better.
Oh, okay, I want to talk about.
Better, differently.
I want to talk about control now. Control. It's somehow, it's easy. I'm speaking based on experience now, and I know a lot of singers have this experience where it's difficult to control, it's difficult to be flexible up there. So it's just like, while they're in their chest voice, they're with the steering of the wheel of the car and they're going, then the moment they move into their head voice, it's like the steering just removed and they're without control and it's usually an issue. So they kind of sometimes they sound too sharp or flat up there. Is there exercises? How do we master control there? Have a balance, a more balanced sound. So I don't sound all strong here. And when I'm going, I'm beginning to float.
Yeah.
So how do we get balanced all the way up there?
Okay, my favorite word about with vocal technique is pull. My second favorite word is morph.
Okay.
And shape shift. Yeah. Mm. And what's weird is it's a paradox. It's counterintuitive. But movement creates the possibility of control and precision.
Yeah.
And that is, as you're holding a note, or as you're holding a note up there, or seeing it for any length of time at all, really, you're losing air, right? You are losing air. Yeah. So your rib cage wants to come in. Well, you fight that by, if you're you continue to pull flexibly like that, you continue to pull your rib cage open even as you're losing air. And that lets your diaphragm stay flat, which gives, that's where the diaphragm has control, because of course it's attached, as we know, to the bottom of the rib cage. If the rib cage comes in when air is leaving, then the diaphragm starts to be able to move too much. It's like a badly strung drum head or a trampoline. So one of the tricks for control is to keep your upper spine constantly sort of straightening and flexing so that the rib cage stays open. The second thing is that you morph a vowel up there. Instead of So if when you move your jaw around just a little bit, you free your ability to put it right where you want it. And also it sounds better. It sounds less tight. So it, I know with like for jazz singers, a lot of times you'll hit, you'll hold a note, but then you'll shimmer it out just like you want to when you have plenty of control. But if you just, straight tone is really hard to control unless you morph it as you hold it, just a little bit, right in the right place. When it starts to come in on itself, just do a little bit of shift of your jaw. That's all it takes.
Wow, thank you so much. So the next is emotions, because you're speaking about movement, emotions. What role does emotion have to play in controlling registers and blending of our vocal registers? How can we, so we don't sound fake and lose authenticity?
Right.
So everything do not sound rigid and sound planned, because that's another thing. People can somehow, we think they don't. We think because they are not musical, so they won't sense some things. But I feel people know it's when you're doing every single thing you rehearsed, when it's not flowing from inside of you. People just know. That's why they would connect. Yeah, they'll just connect with someone whose music is coming from somewhere, not from doing this and doing that, but just flowing freely. So people would know. So what role does emotions have to play in the process of blending registers?
Yeah, incredibly important question, really. In fact, I'd say it's the ultimate question. And the reason is, the value of the voice, you know, when we're vocal training, or when we're in the music business and we're trying to make a career out of it, or we're just trying to be perfect with everything that we do with our voices, we get the cart before the horse. We forget where the horse is supposed to be. We forget why we're doing it. This thing in our neck exists for one reason: to deliver messages. That's it. And what makes us able to do that is if there's a reason to deliver that message. So we have to know, number one, who the heck are we talking to? And my suggestion is always, always, always make it to one heart. And this is the way I work with speakers too. If it is a story song that you're telling the audience, tell the one heart of the audience, the one heart of the venue. And you can move that heart around, even if the spotlight's in your eyes and you can't see anyone. You can interact with one of the atoms in the whiteness of the spotlight. But absolutely be directing this message to one heart. What heart? The heart the heart the lyric is to, which many times is not the audience you're singing in front of. So you may be singing for the audience, but not to them. Okay.
Hello, my beautiful listener. So this brings us to the end of the part 2, and we're moving to part 3.
If you've not subscribed or followed us on every podcast listening platform, I really don't know what you're waiting for. You should. The advantage there is you get to be notified every time an episode drops, because not every time you just see the link appearing somewhere. You need to be notified. You need to follow Mama Judy. Of course you need to. If you want to make a musical quantum, you should take every shot you have at it. And Mama Judy here is a well of wisdom. You could look her up at her podcast, All Things Vocal, or you could just check her up on IG. She's doing a really good job. I don't know what you're waiting for. All right. This part of the pod happens to be like my favorite part, where she spoke about how we can connect with our audience. Like, it was amazing. It was mind-blowing. And I cannot wait to get right to the thought, but you need to listen, guys. All right, let's move to the part 3.